Welcome to Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You, the podcast that focuses on Christians that are active in everyday life. Join in as we speak to everyone from successful business owners to educators to athletes about their faith and how it helps them reach out and revolutionize those around them to do the same. And now get ready to roar with your host, the voice of manifestation, John Fuller.
Hey, Roar Nation, John Fuller here, and I am fired up. For you that don't know this, we are going to be doing our very first conference in Amarillo, Texas, Sunday, July 28th, from 1 p.m. to 10 p.m. Yes, I did say 1 to 10. It is going to be an enormous long day. So I want to give you the lineup. We're going to have Christy Austin. She's going to be speaking about kingdom transformation in the community. We have Bob Hassan, who also will be talking about people discovering how to honor can transform people's lives in their organizations. We're going to have Michael McIntyre from Dallas. He's helping people change mindsets and going to the next level in life. And then yours truly, I'm going to be releasing my very second book, and how to speak God's words over your life and see radical transformation. And then here's the best part. Our friend Sean Bowles is going to be coming in and wrapping up the entire conference. So that being said, I'm going to hand it over to yours truly. Sean, take it away, my friend.
I can't believe you said I'm the best part. Thank you so much. I'm going to be talking about hearing God's voice for your world around you, especially business leaders, entrepreneurs. We're going to talk about hearing God's voice for real, like we need to. Like, you have to be a prophet if you're going to go in the marketplace. You have to hear from God. And so we're going to talk about, and when I say prophet, I don't mean in the weird old charismatic Pentecostal way. I'm saying we have to be a friend of God to know what he wants. And he planned and pre-planned all these industries and all these things, and our whole city, our whole nation, way before we ever entered into it, way before we ever manifested. So how do we hear his original plan and bring alignment between what was in his original heart and what we see today? And so we're going to talk about discerning his heart, knowing his heart, hearing his heart. And it's going to be revolutionary. It's going to be great.
All right, Roar Nation. So check it out. Get on areyoureal.org. You can get on Eventbrite. It is the Kingdom Conference. Get your tickets. We're running some discounts. You get some of Sean's e-course. You get his book, my book. And anyways, it's going to be a phenomenal time. So please get on there now. Get tickets while you can, and have a blessed day. Hey, Roar Nation, John Fuller here, and I am looking forward to today's show. So check this out. I love nothing more than entrepreneur in business. And what I love even more is hearing about women that are just kicking butt in this area. So that's what I'm bringing for you today. I'm bringing Jennifer Allwood. Jennifer, you ready to roar?
I am. I'm so excited. You're not going to actually make me physically roar, are you?
You know what? In 3 years, I've had two people do it. So if you
feel, really,
if you feel really brave, I've never had a woman do it. So you could be the first, or you.
You know what? I'm not feeling it. Because you know, I'm remembering like Tony the Tiger on the Frosted Flakes box, and yeah. I'm feeling like I haven't had quite enough coffee yet this morning. But I love it. I love that's how you start your podcast. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Okay. So Roar Nation, check this out. Jennifer is a wife. She's a mother. She's a dynamic business coach. She's the host of the Jennifer All You Would Show podcast. And she has an infectious enthusiasm for helping like-minded creative women build their social media platforms and turn their talents and hobbies into lucrative online businesses. So
Amen. Come on,
man, let's talk about it. What are you doing? Let's hear it.
Yeah. So, well, you know, I'm doing something that I never would have seen coming a million miles away. Certainly not something that I ever planned on doing. I actually owned a decorative painting company. I started that back in the year 2000. You and I were kind of talking about that offline, and started that company because I got laid off from a desk job. Thank God, like literally thank God that he pivoted me out of there. I think I would have died with my pantyhose and my pager. And so I had this incredible like passion for making homes pretty. And back in the year 2000, faux finishing and decorative painting was really a thing. People were, you know, having us come in and do sky murals on their bathroom ceiling and make columns look like marble and paint their garage doors to look like wood. And that was really going fantastic. And my husband and I got pregnant with our oldest son, Noah, very quickly after we started that business. And so then I was like, oh gosh, what do I do now? Because I wanted to stay home and raise babies, but I had this incredible business that was being featured on TV. We did Extreme Home Makeover 3 times. I had a client fly me to Belize to look at their home. And so We figured out a way for me to stay home and raise the kids, and I just hired other women to come in and paint the homes for me. And that worked really well. I kept having babies. And then after three kiddos, all of my children were in school about 6 years ago, so I was ready to kind of get back out in the field and kick some butt. But when I did that, John, I figured out I had kind of lost my zest for that just a little bit. And I was feeling a little frustrated about the amount of work we were doing and the amount of managing I was doing of women and the lack of dollars in our bank account. I know that sounds shallow, but it's just the bottom line. I was managing eight women on a job site, and I'll never forget the day that I remember exactly the house. I remember the drive home. I remember me kind of, you know, grumbling and complaining in my mind, thinking, I am working way too hard for us not to be making more money. What am I missing here? There has to be a better way. And in my head, I thought, well, we could perhaps do, you know, a whole nother house. I could be working in two job sites at once, have 16 women instead of eight working for me. And that just sounded like torture. Or I wonder if I could teach people online how to do what I'm actually doing in people's houses here in Kansas City. I had been blogging for a little while and was on Facebook and Instagram, and decided I love social media. So decided, you know what, let me see if I can really ask my audience what they would think about me coming out with like a line of painting videos. So I asked. The overwhelming response was yes. So we started making some really, quite frankly, they were awful. They were janky videos of me painting. You know, half the time my kids were filming me on an old camera, but we sold over $100,000 worth of painting videos in just a little over a year. And I thought, this online space definitely has some potential to make some revenue. And so I was figuring out too that as an introvert, I was
You're
really
an introvert.
I'm a total introvert, 100%. And people always mistake me for an extrovert because they see I have, you know, a 500,000 followers on social media. This girl must have a really, you know, extroverted personality. That is not the case at all. A lot of introverts do really well on social media. And the reason is because they have the ability to, well, first of all, you're not face to face with people, because when you're an introvert, you know, we get drained by too much people interaction. Also, most introverts are a little quirky in a lot of ways, and quirky does fantastic on social media. You can kind of let your freak flag fly, is what I say. And it's really hard to say, by the way, three times in a row. So I started pushing on the gas on social media about 5 years ago, and people took notice of that, and they were wondering, how do you have 100,000 social media fans on Facebook, and then 200,000, and then 300,000? And they kept asking me, will you teach me how to do what you're doing? And so about 4 years ago, I said, you know what, fine, I'll start teaching a group of women how to build their business with social media online. And I'm now coaching well over 2,000 women every month at $47 a month on how to build their social media. And then I was figuring out, but gosh, people could have, you know, lots of followers and not be making any dollars. And that was sad to me, that they were understanding how to build followers, but they weren't understanding how to monetize that and actually put money in the bank. And the truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter how many followers you have. And a business is just not going to stay in business for long if revenue is not coming in. So we started a course called Creator's Roadmap. We've had almost 1,500 people go through that. It's a $1,000 course where I teach people the six different ways of making money online. I'm actually going to switch that to the seven different ways of making money online based on a Bible scripture out of Ecclesiastes. And, but so yeah, I have the honor of coaching now over 3,000 women a month. I teach them how to build their social media and then how to make money off what they're building online.
Okay.
Bada boom, bada bing.
Yeah, that's funny. I just saw that. That's a hotel deal. Every time I see it, I think that is the stupidest freaking commercial, but it works because
I've never seen it. And I don't know that I've ever said bada boom, bada bing, but I just feel like I gave you a mouthful of an answer. So
you know, it's funny. There's a hotel chain that just started doing that. And at the very end, like that's his summary. They give this quick, outro, like they're telling about what they're doing. And he just looks and he goes, bada boom, bada bing. Like that's his summary of what they're doing. And I'm like, that is terrible, but it works. So,
but it works. You remembered it. See, and that's the thing about social media. That's the thing about marketing in general, is it could be lousy, but if people remember it, it works.
Yeah, it's lousy, but it works. Okay. So there's so many avenues, roadmaps we can go down. I have questions. So
yes, I got answers.
Have fun. So you talked about getting into the social media world. Mm-hmm. Why don't we talk about how you started? Because I've lately had a couple people obviously write us. They're like, hey, you guys talk about business. How do you get started? Or I launched.
and I'm in the middle of it and having a hard time or I'm failing. Why don't you talk about how you got started and maybe some of the things that you would encourage others to do?
And just got started, you know, like you're saying, on Facebook or Instagram or whatever.
Yeah, Facebook, yeah. Kind of like, well, you're kind of giving a 30,000 foot sure. view of your course a little bit.
Sure. Yeah. The thing is, I got started like most people do. I had a personal Facebook page, a personal Instagram account. I enjoyed, you know, looking at people's babies and cats and recipes that my husband could perhaps make me for dinner. And, but 5 years ago, a lot of people, John, weren't using social media well, some of them were using it for business, but they weren't doing a good job. Basically, what they were doing was barfing up sales posts. That's what I call it. You'd see their posts come up in their feed and they're just trying to sell you something over and over and over. And I hated it. It grossed me out. And what I saw that was missing was business owners actually building relationship with people using their social media, not their personal Facebook page, but a business page, building relationship and then trying to sell people, which, oh, by the way, is, you know, that's how sales happened 50, 60 years ago. I think about how when I was young, my grandparents, I spent a ton of time with them when I was young, and we grew up in a little tiny town in Iowa, farm area. And even though it was a little tiny town, there were two grocery stores in the town that we were in. Well, I can tell you how we decided where grandma was going to get groceries. It was not who had the cutest store. It was not who had the best coupons. It was not who had a sale on ground beef. It was, did grandma like the owner or not? Bottom line. That was it. That's how we decided where grandma was getting groceries. Social media is the exact same thing today. When you think about how crowded the internet space is and how many people are doing, the same thing. When I think about me doing business coaching, there are a bajillion, and that is a really professional word, bajillion, a bajillion business coaches out there in the online space. The way people decide who to do businesses with is who do they have a relationship with? And they figure out who to have a relationship with based on who do they like, and they figure out who do they like based on the fact that the business owner needs to quit hiding behind the business and actually show up as a real live person on their business social media. And so this is one of the reasons I have 350,000 people following me on Facebook. I don't just talk about business. I talk about my faith. I talk about how I got started in business. I talk about my failures. I talk about my family. And then, oh, by the way, I have something for sale today. And it's a magical formula that's not even a formula at all. It's just really caring about people and not just barfing up sales stuff all the time. It grosses me out. So my followers know they don't see me selling every day. They don't even see me selling every month. But you know, when I do sell something, like we just did a $750,000 launch in 4 days. And it's because I'm only selling a couple times a year. The rest of the time I'm building relationship, building relationship, building relationship. And if people will do that with their business on social media, that's like the secret sauce.
Love it. Okay. So how did you get started though? Like your first, I think you, if I'm going back, you talked about mm-hmm. your first deal, you did $100,000. You talked about your kids video, yep. it, which is great. I have a friend who's an online business coach. He's very successful. Mm-hmm. And his deal is always, he says, just ship it. Said, I don't give a crap what it looks like. He said, you're going to look back in a month, a year, 5 years from now, and you're going to say it was the worst video.
Oh, yeah. So cringy.
Yeah. He said, you're going to hate everything about it. He goes, I don't care. Just ship it and fix mm-hmm. it later. So yes. Kind of talk about your journey doing that.
Yeah. So when we started those painting videos, they were not good. But I do think that one of the reasons my business has been so successful is I don't get caught up on perfection. I think perfectionism and arrogance are kissing cousins. And so while a lot of entrepreneurs are working so hard to, you know, craft the perfect Facebook post or the perfect Instagram story or record the perfect, you know, course for people that are following them, the truth is people don't want perfection. If they want perfection, they'll go look at Pinterest, they'll go watch HGTV, but they don't want perfection when it comes to social media. And so where most people are getting stumped at is they're not sure what to post, or they're not sure how to post it in a way that looks really good. And I think that if we'll forget about how we appear and really think about, you know, I'm a person of faith. And so my angle is always this. even if I don't want to launch something, even if I don't want to post something when I feel like I'm supposed to, well, at the end of the day, that's the bottom line. And so I just have to be obedient to what God's asking me to post. It may have terrible grammar. It may not make a whole lot of sense, but I also believe that He will anoint that and that people will hear and read it and take it exactly like it's supposed to be done. So the perfectionism thing really gets in my craw a little bit, because a lot of entrepreneurs will use that almost as like, almost, well, we were talking about idols before we came on this podcast. They'll almost use it as like a, well, I want to make sure it's perfect. And that's such a lousy excuse for not doing things. So start posting, start launching, put out the course, do the video, all the things. It doesn't have to be perfect, but it does have to get started. While you're wasting time trying to figure out how you're going to get that video to be perfect and, you know, the right size to put it up on YouTube, you've got other entrepreneurs who are blazing past you because they just don't care. They don't care about perfection.
You know what I was just thinking about, though? And not just that they're blazing past you, but there's somebody out there that needs what you have.
Amen. It is, our business is not about what we think it is, ever. And this is, I think, too, where a lot of business owners, they're missing the point. You think your business is about, you know, it was never about the painting. I can't tell you how many times, John, I would get into somebody's house and God would give me a word for a client, or they would know that I was a Christian and ask me to pray while I was there. Or literally it would just be a time where I was able to, you know, have deep conversations with the women who work for me. It's so very rarely about the business, but here's what the business is. The business is the gateway drug.
Yeah.
And good. So God uses the business to draw people to you. And then you have an opportunity to do other things and influence those people in other ways.
Okay. That's a good segue into my next question. And my question is, how do you overlap your faith with your business? Because I've had, over the years, I've had people say, well, business is business, church is church. Mm-hmm. Faith is faith. They try to separate them, which is, in my opinion, demonic and completely opposite of what God has for it. How have you overlapped those and utilized your faith with business and vice versa?
Yeah, this is not a sexy answer at all. It's, I haven't done it like intentionally or unintentionally. Like, literally, I just, my faith is such a part of who I am that I couldn't do business without it. Like, it's just, it's not like I'm thinking, how can I bring my faith into this Facebook Live today? It just leaks out. Does that make sense? Like, it just leaks out. And so I know in the beginning, when I really started talking about being a believer and things that applied to business from a Christian perspective, I would have different people ask me, aren't you afraid you're going to turn some people off? And my answer has always, do what?
That's not your tribe.
I mean, that's not my tribe. Yeah, it will instinctively repel some people, and that's okay. What it will also do is it will magnetize the right people to me. And oh, by the way, I'm not trying to use my faith as a weapon. So I'm not trying to make sure I, you know, have enough. 40% of my posts need to have my faith mixed in. Like, there's no formula. This is just sharing what I feel like I'm supposed to, when I'm supposed to feel it, in a very authentic way. And your followers can smell that a million miles away. They know when you're using your faith as a weapon, and people have done that as a way to make sales, and it's gross. It's disgusting. Yeah. And so that's never a part of it for me. But my people know, you know, so every month I have these 2,000 women who are in my coaching group to learn specifically about how to build their social media. They know darn good and well, regardless of their faith, that there may be a time when I pull some of their, you know, faces up on screen and I'm answering their questions on a one-on-one basis, that I might say, hey, I feel like God just gave me a word for you. Are you okay with me sharing that? Now, I have people from tons of different faiths who are in that group. They also know they don't have to believe the same as me to be in there, but they know what they're getting into when they come into the group. Am I leading with faith? I'm not. I'm leading with business, but they're going to get some faith while they're there.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. Okay. So how have you started marketing? Like, did you, and I'm just curious, because you obviously have your own course. People can go there, learn from now. But is that for people that are like, man, I'm just not good at social media. I don't really know how to post stuff or how to start intertwining all the things you're talking about. You want to talk a little bit about the process of how you started implementing that?
Yeah. Well, so I think that for people who may say they're not quite sure what to post, we really need to flip the script on that. Because that is very I-centered. I don't know what I need to post. And instead, I want you to think of the people on the other end of your social media. So think of your audience. And what does your audience need to hear today? Why are they following you? Like, you and I were talking about house stuff and flipping stuff, and my husband and I love homes. I have a whole blog. I've had it for 12 years on decorating and painting, which is aside from my business. But when I think about what do those people need? Well, they want to be inspired on what's kind of, you know, some of the latest painting techniques. They want to hear about the most popular paint colors right now. Like, when you think about what they're asking you for, because the truth is, the people that are following you, if you've done a halfway decent job or even maybe a lackluster job on your social media, they will give you clues as to what they want you to actually be talking about. And if you'll just listen to them, they will direct you towards what A, you should post, and often B, what you could sell. So I know for the longest time, John, people would ask me all the time about how I was, you know, painting particular cabinets and what colors I was using in all the houses in Kansas City. So we made a free opt-in, my 50 free paint colors, get it here. We have, you know, 60,000 people on that email list now who were just wanting my free paint colors. Then, you know, we nurture that sequence for many, many months before we're actually selling them into a painting program if they're still interested, you know, in learning more about painting. But so I think that if you will just listen to what your audience is asking and post things that are in direct response to that. I mean, listen to what they're asking you for. And one of the keys that I tell people is sometimes I feel like people will sit down on their desktop and they'll, you know, think, okay, how can I say this on social media? What could I post today that's going to make sense for my business? Number one, I want you to take off your business hat and not post like in this weird language that anybody that knows you would never use. Post like you would say it. Like if you were sitting across from me, I would be like, hey girl, listen. And so that's how I actually type it out. If you're not good at writing, do something like use Voxer and Voxer it. Yes, absolutely. Do video. And then don't think about the hundreds or thousands or hundreds of thousands of people that you're posting it to, because that will often freak people out and they'll go into this weird, like, oh my gosh, I got to make sure I say it right because there's so many people following me. Listen, with 350,000 people following me on Facebook, when I write a post, I pretend I'm writing it to one person. I pretend I'm typing it for my best friend. And I hit go and it's done. And that way I'm not thinking about the hundreds of thousands of people that might see it. I'm just thinking about one person and it usually is applicable to a ton of them.
Okay. So I'm listening to you right now. I've never had a business and I'm thinking, man, I just know I have something inside of me to give to the world, but I just don't know what that thing is. Mm-hmm. How do I discover that?
Okay, so I love this question, and we didn't plan for this at all, and I love that you brought it up. So if you have this thing inside of you, when it comes to business, if that thing is not something that the market's going to pay you for, it's precious, but it's not a good business idea. So, for example, underwater basket.
Yeah, how do I know? It's not, but that's a good question. So I always try to act like I'm listening to our show. So,
yeah.
What, how do I know if it's going to be liable? Like, how do I know if it's going to make money?
Sure. Okay. So listen, so many people are like, I want to do something that's never been done before. A lot of times it's already been done and it was a big fat fail. We call that a BFF where I come from, a big fat fail. And so don't try to reinvent the wheel. Look at where the wheel is already at, but maybe how you could make the spokes look a little different. Look at stuff that's already being successful out in the marketplace. And if you're on social media, you know what those things are, and then figure out how you could tweak it. So for instance, there are a million people, like I said earlier, doing business coaching. The thing that makes me stand out for most business coaches is that faith is a big part of my coaching. And so, you know, I'm not reinventing the wheel. I wasn't trying to figure out how I could do something totally different that's never been done before. I was seeing a need in the marketplace. It's something I'm very passionate about. So I've doubled down on that. So if you have people who are like, I have this passion for XYZ, how could I turn that into a business? I want you to, first of all, see if anybody else is doing it. Go to the Googles, John. I mean, if you're not seeing anybody else doing it, you might just reconsider. Now, you know, there's exceptions to that. Steve Jobs being one of them. By the way, is it Jobs or Jobs? I never know.
Jobs, like a job.
And is it GIF or JIF? I never know.
I don't know.
I know, right? It's like the great conundrum.
Yeah, we'll let somebody respond on this podcast.
I can say conundrum, but I can't say GIF or JIF. So when you have an idea, first of all, are people doing it? Then you need to figure out if there is, you know, a market for this. Will people actually pay you for it? And there has to be this intersection of something you're super passionate about and super good at, and that the market will pay you for. Because what I found is you could be really good. Like I was really good at computer stuff, John, but I hated it. And so the passion and the talent and the need for it all has to intersect. Because if there's a need for it, but you're not passionate at it, like you're going to fail miserably. If you love it, but there's no need for it, it's going to fail miserably. Does that make sense? Like you have to figure out what is the market? What will they actually pay you for? That like just lights you up in the morning and makes you want to jump out of bed and you're good at. Okay. I always use the underwater basket weaving for an example. I could be super good at that. Nobody's going to pay me for it.
Right. Okay. So that gives me into, why don't you give me, since you coach so many women, you've probably got tons of testimonial stuff. Can you give me kind of like an out of the box, like testimony of a woman maybe that you coach? She started something like from scratch and then kind of you've gotten to see her success take off. Cause that's obviously it's a testimonial for you. And it's a glory to God for allowing them to use their talent.
Sure. I could give you 100 examples. So I'm thinking of this girl named Abra Kalanchik, who she's a cookie artist. So she decorates cookies for a living. She was doing 90 dozen cookies a week. Can you imagine making 90 dozen cookies? I can't bake anything. You know, I've got lots of talents, but that is not one of them. And so actually, I only have a few talents, and cooking and baking is definitely not one of them. So she was doing 90 dozen cookies a week, and people were coming to her house and literally picking them up. And that was starting to freak her out just a little bit because she was getting a little busier. Also, she had a kiddo with special needs, and she was like, I can't continue making 90 dozen cookies a week. So I have coached April for several years, and I told her, girl, teach people how to do what you're doing in the online space. Teach people how to decorate cookies. Now you would think, oh, that has to be something done, you know, in a kitchen somewhere. Who on earth would do that? April has hundreds of people in a cookie of the month club where she literally teaches them one new cookie design every single month in a paid group. And she's been able to go from making 90 dozen cookies a week to 2 dozen cookies a week. And now she has people who are like asking her, she's coaching them one-on-one. She's doing this cookie of the month thing. She's speaking at cookie conferences. People who make like cookie supplies are asking, you know, for her, they want to sponsor her and she's talking about them. So that's one good example. Another good example, I'm thinking about a woman named Samantha Day, who I just interviewed for my podcast the other day. So she was on my podcast, she's a sleep expert. Okay. And she helps families get their kids, especially newborns, to sleep better. So she had, you know, like a actual store. What would you call that? Not a store. What would that be? Like a... an office.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So she had like an office, but as you know, for people that have an office, you max out on the number of people you can see in any given day, which, oh, by the way, maxes out your income. And I think that we are not talking enough in this space about how, we really need to be more profitable, bottom line, because when we're more profitable, we can have more impact in the world. We can do so much more with it. Who else is going to fund orphanages and adoptions and all the things that need to be done in the world if it's not believers who are making money? So it's a good spot for an amen. So anyhow,
amen.
Right. Amen. Right. So she was like, how can I pivot this? And she's pivoted to the online space to now she has like, she does sleep consulting, just like you and I are doing right now, John, on Zoom calls with families who are desperate. They can do like a 911 one-on-one coaching with her. Then she has a sleeping group. She has a sleeping course. Just in the last couple of weeks, she's had a book hit Amazon on, it's a, like a book you can read to your little kiddos about going to sleep at night. So she has also shifted into the online space. And so, you know, it is like the wild, wild west right now. Online for people who are willing to do something out of their comfort zone, start that business Facebook page that maybe they're nervous to do, allow the internet to see them because so many entrepreneurs want to hide behind their business, and then figure out a way that you can take what's traditionally been done on a face-to-face basis or, you know, in an office space and do it in the online space, and you can actually serve such a larger audience that way. So those are just two ideas I'm giving you right off the top of my head.
So I'm listening to you right now and I'm thinking, Jennifer, that sounds great. I'm a busy entrepreneur. I'm your cookie lady. Okay.
Yep.
And I'm making 90 dozen cookies a week and I'm thinking I'm frustrated. She had a special needs kid. Mm-hmm. She's got a lot going on. Mm-hmm. And you're saying that now I can start a business online and launch it. Will you talk about the realisticness? And I don't even know if that's a word. I could have just made it up of launching and kind of the time frame of that, because for some people they're thinking, man, I have
I have three teenagers. I have business. I have all these things. How in the world am I going to do all this and kind of scale that? And what's being realistic about that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have four kids. We have three biological. We just took in a four-year-old little girl 8 months ago. So I will tell you what's possible. At this point, I work Monday through Thursday, 9 to 3. My husband works full-time with me. And, you know, we're doing multiple seven figures a year. So this is what's possible. But 5 years ago when I started it, this wasn't where we were at. So what we needed to do 5 years ago, where some of your listeners may be, is we really need to focus on what's working and double down there. We really need to focus on social media. If you're not good at it, find somebody that is. A lot of people have teenagers in their home who understand the heck out of Instagram. They can be doing the posts for you, mom, dad, whatever. If you have any sort of a market budget, please quit sending out mailers. Please quit putting stuff in the yellow pages if your area still even does that. Please quit, you know, putting stuff in your kids' football programs. I hate to say that, but the bottom line is you need to spend every possible dollar you have marketing in the online space. Facebook ads, Facebook ads, Facebook ads. That's going to grow your following quicker than anything else.
Again, one more time. Where?
That would be Facebook and Facebook ads. People, okay. Here's the thing, John. People don't want to do Facebook because there's a little bit of a trend right now towards, you know, getting our life back in terms of not being obsessed with our phone and social media. And I am 100% for that. However, all statistics show Facebook is still the giant in the online space. I don't care if you like Snapchat, WhatsApp, Twitter, whatever you love, 7 billion with a B, people are logging into Facebook every single day. You have to be on Facebook. And so then a lot of people will say, well, you got to pay to play. You don't have to pay to play. And oh, by the way, watch your words when it comes to Facebook. Facebook is the best free marketing tool on the face of the earth, in my opinion. And so we really need to make sure that we're not cursing the very thing that we're asking God to use to bless our business. Do you know what I mean? Like, do I love Facebook's algorithm? No. Is it harder today to get my content seen than it was 5 years ago? Absolutely. But do I still think Facebook's the best thing that has happened to my business? 100%. I mean, Hobby Lobby has flown me to their home office to meet with their corporate people and to do videos for them based on my social media following. So if you're at home, you're busy, you're not sure where to start, I want you to focus on only the things that matter. Because so many entrepreneurs are like, I don't have time. Well, we all have the same number of hours in the day. Are you watching Netflix at night? Are you, you know, I mean, there's a lot. Are you sitting at your son's soccer game or soccer practice, just watching him practice every day? Because, oh, by the way, you don't need to do that. You can be taking him to practice and mom can be working in the car. You don't have to sit there and just physically like zone out and be cruising through Instagram pretending you're watching his practice. It's not a real game. So figure out where you've got gaps of time. Are you sitting in the car line picking up your kids from school? Then be posting on Instagram. Your car's in park. You're good to go. We do have the time. It's just a matter of where we put our priority at. So focus on getting your business page started on Facebook. I always say Facebook plus one other social media in case your Facebook page ever goes down. Figure out how to get really good on those two things, how to build an audience there. Use Facebook ads if you can. Be posting every day, every day, every day, every day. John, I haven't missed a post on Facebook in 5 years, at least. Never. Never. And the reason is because Facebook, when it comes to business pages, they, everything is based on the algorithm. And so they're looking to see, are you consistent? Because consistent businesses show up on Facebook every day. Go look at Taco Bell. Go look at Dove. Go look at Coca-Cola. Those, go look at BuzzFeed. Go look at any of those viral videos. They ain't missing even an hour, let alone a day. And so you have to figure out how to show up on social media every day. And if you really want to grow your Facebook fast, you need to be doing Facebook Lives twice a week without fail on your business page. And they need to be at least 15 minutes long each time you do it. Okay. So listen, so tell me why you say, oh my gosh, because here's what Mark Zuckerberg has said. And when you understand where Facebook's coming from, it makes it make sense, if that makes sense. So Mark Zuckerberg has said he wants your cell phone to be like having a television in your pocket. So this is why I can log into Facebook and I can see the score of the Royals game, which, by the way, right now, if you watch professional baseball, is really dismal. I can see the forecast for today. I can see the news without turning on my TV. It's all right there on Facebook. So Mark is saying, I want your phone to be like a television in your pocket. He has also said, Facebook live videos or live video in general is where everything is going. This is why YouTube is so amazing. You know, afternoon television with live talk shows. They want live video. And so Mark has said, we will put live video, the reach will be 6 to 7 times that of any other post. So if you're saying, Jen, I'm on social media, I really need to grow it, how do I do that? You have to go live on Facebook. And the algorithm wants you to go live twice a week. And it doesn't really hit the algorithm until it hits 15 minutes. And so a lot of people will freak out about that. And they'll think, what the heck am I going to talk about? Well, you can probably come up with something. I mean, the truth is we're all halfway decent at talking. You know, I mean, we're making it more complicated than it needs to be. Let's say you have a brick and mortar. Go live on Facebook and show what's for sale today in your brick and mortar. Let's say you like to bake brownies. Well, turn on the camera on a tripod and just bake brownies for 15 minutes. Like, we make it so much harder than it needs to be, but we just need to give the beast what the beast wants, the beast being the Facebook machine. It wants live video. And if you want your page to grow, you can't say, Jen, I want my social media to grow, but I don't want to do live video. Because I'm going to tell you, you can't have it both ways. You got to be doing what it wants, and it wants you to go live.
Okay. So that goes into one of the questions that you talk about is charging what you're worth. I hear a lot of people, especially in the Christian industry or Christian realm, people really struggle with that. Because they think, well, I can't charge for that. I'm a Christian. I hear all the time. I'm curious, two things. This is two questions. One, how do you get into charging what you're worth? Second thing is, how do you figure out for like groups and stuff? How do you tell your people, your coaching, how to figure out what to charge for their groups?
Okay. I love this. Okay. So, I don't think you probably know this, but I just did a podcast episode on the Jennifer Allwood Show publicly apologizing for the many, many years that I've told people to charge what they're worth. Because God really convicted me about that. Actually, where God has me right now is he has me really seeing things that are very mainstream and kind of all the viral memes and the holes in those and why they don't line up with scripture. And I actually don't like that he's making me see this stuff at all, because I have done the same thing all these people are doing for years. And so anyhow, I have all these graphics that say, charge what you're worth. And God showed me just in the last couple of months that there is so much error in that, because what that's saying is that your worth is tied to your work. Our worth is not tied to our work at all. And because if that, I mean, think about the person that's a janitor right now, the farmer that's not making any money this month because we've had so much flooding in Kansas City. Our worth is the same in the eyes of Jesus, regardless of what we're making. So what I publicly apologize for is I'm changing my wording to charge what your work is worth. Because what was happening, John, is all these hundreds of women are coming into my group and they're hearing me say, charge what you're worth, charge what you're worth. Well, they're brand new in business. And so what they were actually hearing me say, without me saying it, was raise your rates, raise your rates, raise your rates. So a lot of them, John, were raising their rates and they weren't getting any sales. I have a whole lot of like creative people. So painters and makers and DIYers. So they're brand new. They've got a brand new Facebook page. It's 6 months old. They've been in business, you know, 6 months is all. I'm saying charge what you're worth. They're hearing raise your rates. So they're doubling, you know, well, instead of charging $100 for this piece of furniture, I'll charge $200. The market can't handle $200 where they're at, or for the amount of experience that they've had, or for how talented they are. So they're not selling things. And then what they're saying is, oh my gosh, hopefully this, you don't think this is a cuss word, because I don't think it's a cuss word, but obviously I suck.
Feel better. We've cussed on the show. So
do what?
It makes you feel better. We've cussed on the show.
Okay, well, my kids are always like, well, Mom, you don't let us use the word suck. And I'm like, no, but I'm 48. And so there's a difference. So, but what a woman is saying in her head is, well, clearly I suck. I'm not selling enough, you know, at $200. And she ends up getting frustrated, discouraged. And if the devil can't distract you, he'll discourage the heck out of you. And they end up shutting down the business. All because it started out with somebody like me saying, charge what you're worth. And what they heard was raise your rates. So I have pivoted and I want you to charge what your work is worth. And in the beginning, it's not going to be what it is for somebody that's been doing it for 10 years. It's just not. And so here's how I address the second part of your question, which is how do you figure out your price? Look at what other people are doing. And at the end of the day, God gave you a gut for a reason. Yeah. And you kind of know. And so in the beginning, when I was doing my painting business, for instance, I remember the very first job I ever got, John, from a designer when I got laid off from my desk job was in this $1 million, for all practical purposes, mansion, had a private room. It was amazing. They wanted me to glaze their kitchen cabinets. Well, I'd never glazed their kitchen cabinets. So I did in the beginning what every entrepreneur does. I just grabbed a number out of the sky and I'm like, $800. And my designer was like, oh, sweetheart, God bless you. You are going to be here for a week. You need to triple that price. Yes. But I didn't know what I didn't know. And so I think so many people, I think of that Bible scripture, not to despise the small beginnings. We don't know what we don't know until we get started. I just had my first conference. Let me tell you something. I found out a million things about having a conference by having my first conference. So when you first start out pricing, you just pull a number out of the sky based on gut feeling, what you think, what other people are telling you, and you'll learn whether or not that was accurate. And very few things on this side of heaven are permanent. Pricing's not one of them. So if you lose your butt on that $800 painting job, now you know. Now I'm going to have to double it next time. But God gives you that gut for a reason. And so many people want to ignore that. And so ask the Lord. I mean, I think your audience are people of prayer. Ask him, God, what do you want me to price this job? Usually it will be so much higher than what I ever would have myself. And I know for me, John, I would do that in different times. And I remember one time God told me to price a job at $90,000. And I thought, are you kidding me? I've never had a job for $90,000. Now that was an entire house. It was, you know, a huge house. And I thought there's no way I can put $90,000 down on this quote. And I will tell you that I was so nervous about it, I actually put the decimal point in the wrong place and I gave the bid to them at $9,000. It was so embarrassing. I had to go back and I was like, no, I'm so sorry. I need to redo that. It was $90,000. Thank God that God gave me that number, because that job ended up lasting 18 months. I kid you not. We were not there every day, but we were there a lot. And I think, you know, how I was going to go less than half of that. And so ask God what to start out with your pricing. Listen to your gut. Remember, it's not permanent. Raise it or lower it later on. But you don't like sit there and think for the next 6 months about pricing, because you are losing dollars every day of the week when you do that.
That's a really good point, because there's been times I do bids. I have a format, because we do a lot of bathroom and kitchen remodels, and I kind of have a format of general pricing that we go through.
Yep.
And then there's been times where I've gone to give that bid and I've really heard the Holy Spirit say, you need to take 10% off that, mm-hmm. or you need to not mark this up.
Yep.
Because he knows that they have an amount that they're looking for. And if
Absolutely.
I go over that, I lose it.
You lose it. And you not only lose the job, but you lose an opportunity, yeah. because the job's the gateway drug. So you also, you know, you lose an opportunity. So not enough people are involving the Holy Spirit and the Lord with their pricing, honestly.
That's good. Okay. So this was not on your list of questions, but this is something that my wife and Casey and I are real big about. We call it the Fuller Five, and it's faith, family, fitness, fun, and finances. Okay. Mm-hmm. And how to balance all those in your life, because as entrepreneurs, we're very busy. I have three teenagers.
Go. Yeah.
Constant.
Yeah.
How do you put some balance in your life with all these things going on?
Yeah. So I feel like balance is this like loosey goosey word that, like, is there ever really balance? I mean, there is if you're, you know, on a teeter totter. But when it comes to life, here's what I kind of think. There are some times when God asks me to push the gas on areas of my life that at other times, you know, he doesn't. For instance, we're getting ready to write my first book, and I have 60 days to write a book, John, that's going to be, it's a Christian book, but it's going to be in every Barnes and Noble, every Target in America. So there will be something. I mean, the truth is, when you say, anytime I say yes to something, I'm inevitably saying no to something else.
Right.
One of the things that I can't stand that I see all over mainstream media right now is women in particular who are, girls, you can have it all. No, you can't. Not at the same time. That is a lie. You cannot have it all. And so I know for the next 60 days, while I'm saying yes to getting up and writing a book every day, and by the way, I'm saying yes to God and doing that, that inevitably some other things will take the back seat. It'll probably be fun. And it'll probably be fitness, because it's never going to be, hopefully, my faith and my family. And so I think that balance is something that we need to try to attain, but also understand we're never really going to be able to. And at different times, God may have you really like focus on different areas, which is going to meet other parts of your life for a period, may not get the same attention that they always had. Does that make sense?
No, it makes perfect sense. And I'm glad you brought that up, because we have to look at it as seasons. And the other thing that
yes.
I noticed, what you talked about to me was core values. So
Amen.
The first thing that I caught out of your mouth was, as you said, I'm not going to give up my faith and my family.
Nah.
But I have to give up my fitness time maybe and something else. And mm-hmm. I think that's a really good point that you brought up, because we have to look at our core values. What am I not willing to sacrifice? and still have other things to sacrifice, like you said, and go towards your goal. And it's just a season, and we have to look at it as seasonal, and it's just a shift to get into that next area of what God has for us.
Yeah, and so I think it's okay for some seasons for us to press really hard on certain things. I think when you're first starting a business, you have to press harder on the hustle, but I hate hustle. It is not a long-term solution at all, because hustle, like when I think about so many people that I see hustling, I think, gosh, what is suffering because of that hustle? It's amazing that your business is thriving, but I have said, if I make it in business, John, but I fail as a wife and a mother, I will have failed. And I mean that with everything in me. And I never want to get to the point where I'm putting business above my family. And as an entrepreneur, I have to constantly check that stuff, because my personality is, you know, even though I'm an introvert, I'm a type A, I'm firstborn, I'm a quick start when it comes to the Colby. I'm a number three on the Enneagram, if you're into that. Like, everything in me is like, go, 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 because this is fun. And I feel like I've got influence and I've got ideas out the wazoo. And so my challenge is constantly having to pull back and be like, okay, but what does God want me to do today? Perhaps today I'm just supposed to focus on giving my husband a lot more FaceTime. Perhaps we need to go out for tacos today and not be so, you know, focused on the next funnel strategy that I dreamt up in the middle of the night. And so it is constantly like this internal tension, which, by the way, the Bible is full of tension. It's always full of tension of, you know, you can interpret this scripture one way, and then there's another scripture that seems like it's almost sometimes in reverse of that. And so tension is a very normal thing. And that's the tension that I personally carry. I love what I'm doing in business so much. I love that I've got influence over a large Facebook audience, over, you know, 3,000 women every month, but my main influence better be in my home. My main job is in my home. And if I'm not popular in my home, if I don't have favor with my husband and my children, the rest of it doesn't matter. And that's, it's hard. It's something literally every day I'm like, Lord, you got to help me do a better job of this today. But hopefully the fact that I'm even aware of it, and I'm even asking God, you know, for help in that area, hopefully that counts for something. I don't know. There's times when I have to check in with my family, literally, and ask my husband, how am I doing? Do you feel like, and there's times when he's like, I don't feel like the priority. And I'm like, oh, you know, and then I got to get on my face and try to figure out how to do a better job.
Yep. That's good. That's really good. Especially for people that are real driven. I struggle with that myself. So I like that you say you have to go back. Those are my wife and I try to every week sit down for, it's called coffee break, for 45 minutes to an hour, and just ask each other like, hey, how am I doing? How are you doing?
Yeah. And sometimes, do you guys work together full time in your business?
We didn't for years because my wife stepped out to raise our kids. We homeschooled for years.
Yeah.
And then now she has stepped back into our businesses because we have multiple. And now we work together probably about 20 hours a week.
Yeah.
And I have a really bad sense because I'm real driven. So it's real like task oriented. Hey, I need this done. And she has to remind me, she's like, I don't work for you. We're a team. We're married. I love you, but I'm not your secretary. I'm your wife. And it's good. And because I need to hear that, because it is wrong. And I get caught up in that because I can even treat other people that way. Not because I don't care about them. Not because, no, I don't see the goodness that God has in all those things. I get so driven that I just look at it as one more thing that needs to be done. And I have to step back and say, God, how do you see this person? How do I need to talk to this person? And not look at it as something that needs to be done, but as a relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, my husband, we were able to, bring him home from corporate America, a little over a year ago. We just did like, another podcast episode now that he's been working with me for the last year. And man, it comes with its own set of challenges because, you know, especially like, I think it takes a really special man to be married to a woman who, is very driven. And by the way, when I say driven, I mean, I always feel like people need to know and then this is what I need to get over to, John. I'm doing some heart work as I'm sitting here talking to you. Like, cause in my head, I'm like, I need to remind them though, that I stayed home and raised all my babies. I wasn't out working every day. They weren't raised by a nanny. And then I'm like, okay, you know what, grace to anybody else who's in a different season and doing it different. That was our personal conviction. And so we just, you can even edit that part right out of this podcast. But anyhow, so Jason's come home and he's been here for a year, but we are literally like living it out every day, trying to figure out what does this look like that we're working together and that he's working with me, which, oh, by the way, isn't his dream in life. He's got his own passions and things. And how do we do that in a way that's super respectful? And how do we not bring the business stuff into the marriage stuff? Because there's times with me especially that we'll disagree on something that's related to work, but then, you know, I'm like, I can't believe that you blah, 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 you know, and so it's carrying over into family dinner. Do you know what I'm saying? And so it's interesting too how I'm glad you and your wife are doing that FaceTime once a week, because even though Jason and I are home literally all day, every day together, because we office out of the house, we always have, we've never had an outside office. There's times that I'm like, we've been together all day and all night, and I just feel like we haven't even had a chance to talk. I mean, we're talking all day, but not like talking about stuff that really matters. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry, that's a real life dog in the background that's barking. That my dog just said amen.
Amen. Amen to that. Okay.
Hey, Roar Nation, John Fuller here, and I am fired up. For you that don't know this, we are going to be doing our very first conference in Amarillo, Texas, Sunday, July 28th. From 1 p.m. to 10 p.m. Yes, I did say 1 to 10. It is going to be an enormous long day. So I want to give you the lineup. We're going to have Christy Austin. She's going to be speaking about kingdom transformation in the community. We have Bob Hassan, who also will be talking about people discovering how to honor can transform people's lives in their organizations. We're going to have Michael McIntyre from Dallas. He's helping people change mindsets and going to the next level in life. And then yours truly, I'm going to be releasing my very second book, and how to speak God's words over your life and see radical transformation. And then here's the best part. Our friend Sean Bowles is going to be coming in and wrapping up the entire conference. So that being said, I'm going to hand it over to yours truly. Sean, take it away, my friend.
I can't believe you said I'm the best part. Thank you so much. I'm going to be talking about hearing God's voice for your world around you, especially business leaders, entrepreneurs. We're going to talk about hearing God's voice for real, like we need to. Like, you have to be a prophet if you're going to go in the marketplace. You have to hear from God. And so we're going to talk about, and when I say prophet, I don't mean in the weird old charismatic Pentecostal way. I'm saying we have to be a friend of God to know what he wants. And he planned and pre-planned all these industries and all these things, and our whole city, our whole nation, way before we ever entered into it, way before it ever manifested. So how do we hear his original plan and bring alignment between what was in his original heart and what we see today? And so we're gonna talk about discerning his heart, knowing his heart, hearing his heart. And it's going to be revolutionary. It's going to be great.
All right, Roar Nation. So check it out. Get on rureal.org. You can get on Eventbrite. It is the Kingdom Conference. Get your tickets. We're running some discounts. You get some of Sean's e-course. You get his book, my book. And anyways, it's going to be a phenomenal time. So please get on there now. Get tickets while you can, and have a blessed day.
So I want to kind of transition into one thing I love is stories, and I love people's journey. And I call it the couldn't be worse than this type deal. So where you're kind of standing at the Red Sea, Pharaoh's behind you, and you kind of have that moment. It's that, oh crap, we're going to die. But God has to show up in a miraculous way. And you're able to look back and you can see just the miracle that God provided for you, whether in your business, your family, mm-hmm. your marriage, whatever. But I would love to hear a story like that that talks about where God just showed up and did what you felt was the impossible.
Yeah. Well, a couple stories come to mind. Last night, I actually put on both my Facebook and my Instagram a story that it goes way back. We have been married 22 years. We joke that only the last 20 have been any good. The first two were rough, John. And I put a picture last night on both my Facebook and Instagram of my husband and I, just our feet at church this weekend. Because I got saved when I was 16 and went away to college, turned into a knucklehead, didn't turn my back on my faith, but I just was basically rebellious. I just lived like I wanted to live for a good decade. Met my husband. He was not a believer. But we got married, and you know, we ran into issues immediately. And that first year and a half to 2 years, it was, when I say awful, I mean, it was awful. And I won't go into all the details, but it, you know, when you think of any challenge a marriage can have, we had them in that first year and a half. And we sat, the good thing is that we both loved each other. We just didn't know how to be married. We both came from broken families. We both come from families with addiction. We both were just, we were just young and dumb. I mean, even though we were 26, 27, we were still young and dumb. There's still times at 47, I'm young and dumb. And so, you know, we got together and basically said, I told him, we could, if you want, we can do counseling and we can try church. Otherwise, we just need to cash in right now before we even think about having kids. And I'm so grateful that my husband was like, okay, let's try it, because we were in such a desperate place. And so we did counseling, which was great. And I drug him to church. And my husband, you know, having not been raised in the church, they did church like on Christmas Eve and Easter, you know, on occasion. But he was like, I have no idea what I'm getting myself into. And yet I kept dragging him every week. And, you know, God saved his soul a year into church. We were baptized together when we were 30. And now, you know, 20 years later, if there's anybody that's like, hey, let's skip church this weekend, it's me. If there's anybody who's like, our family is not skipping church this weekend, it's my husband. We sit on the front row every single week because that's where he wants to sit. And when I look, you know, I was just looking at our feet in church this weekend thinking 22 years ago, I never could have seen this. I mean, we were just in such a bad place. And so that's one thing that I think of. And then I think of in terms of business, we had a really, God does so many like full circle moments for me, which is so cool. I got to hang out with Dave Ramsey for a little bit Sunday night, this week. And when Jason and I were, well, it was right around the time of the real estate crash back in 2008. Jason was in real estate and my decorative painting company worked in real estate. We were always going out and painting in the homes that were on the Parade of Homes and for the big builders in Kansas City. Well, there was a time when he had lost his job and then he went into real estate and then the market crashed. And our boys were little. We didn't have the girls yet. And they were like 3 and 1 and we were dead broke. I will never forget it. And a good, you know, 15 years ago. But it was right before Christmas. We lost out on his fourth quarter bonus and all the things. And we were in a tight spot. And racking up credit cards is the bottom line. And I can remember like going to the grocery store and knowing that we had a $30,000 limit on our card and thinking that I think we might be almost over that and just like holding my breath as they scan the card for groceries. So I called into Dave Ramsey's radio show to ask, should we turn in our 401ks? We'd always done a really good job, both of us, of saving in our 401ks. I started mine when I was 19. And you know, I don't know if you remember the Dave Ramsey show at the time. I think it's still like this, but it's like an 800 number and they tell you whether or not you're going to be on the show. And then they call you back and you actually get to talk to Dave. So Dave Ramsey and I got to chat and literally I said, here's our position. And we were doing well. And then now we're not doing well because of the real estate stuff. We're putting everything on credit cards. We cash in our 401k. And then I start to sob, John. And I'm not talking like the sniffle, sniffle. I'm talking like I could not get a word out edgewise. And I'm telling you what, this was a turning point in my business and my life for me. Dave Ramsey was the kindest, most gentlest man on the other end of a phone line. It makes me like, my eyes are getting teary just thinking about it. He was so like fatherly and he's like, Jennifer, your business is going to be fine. You and your husband are going to be fine. Don't make any rash decisions. You know, put your head down. He'll find another job. You're going to be okay. What's so crazy about that is a couple years ago, I was invited to Christy Wright's Business Boutique, which is, she's a personality for Dave Ramsey, as an influencer because of my huge social media following. And so I got to go and I didn't get to meet Dave, but I saw him on stage. Last year, they invited me to go speak in a breakout session on how to build your social media. And I got to meet Dave Ramsey in real life. And when I tell you that I did the exact same thing, literally he walked into the room and he carries a very strong, you know, presence and mantle with him. And I started bawling like a baby before I even got my hand out to introduce myself again. And so when I think about how that was pivotal in my business, not because he gave me any strategy, he gave me hope.
Yeah.
That's all he gave me. And he gave me hope in a 1.5 minute phone conversation. And when I think about my social media and I think about me coaching all these women every month, I am hyper aware of the fact that one word that God can give you through a person, often a stranger, can change everything. Amen. And so that's like a story that comes to my mind just because it did. It changed everything for me. And it put calm and peace in my heart when I was feeling panicky. And it's been so amazing now to get to, so then I got to meet him again Sunday night. And I'm like, I'm the girl that cried on your phone call, you know, 15 years ago and bawled in front of you last year in November. And I'm speaking at your event again this November. And so, yeah, it's just really full circle for me.
That's awesome. Okay. One question that I never skip, and we skipped almost every question that I ever ask, which has been really fun. but one that I always make sure that I don't leave no matter what. If you could go back, Jennifer, to a younger you, what advice would you give yourself knowing you can't change anything that's going to happen, but you're basically going to give yourself the Tony Robbins pep talk, going forward?
Yep. I knew you were going to ask this. And the younger me was very concerned about what other people think. Now, remember how earlier I told you, God keeps showing me holes all over the place in the popular mantras of 2019. I don't love when people say other people's opinions of you don't matter, because there are some people's opinions that better matter to you. The man I'm married to, his opinion matters to me. The kids I'm raising, their opinion matters to me. Yeah. My pastor, his opinion matters. You know what I mean? My closest circle of friends, they matter. But the people that are outside of that, who don't know me, strangers on the internet, I wish so much, and other people in my industry, I wish so much that I didn't care earlier on about what they thought or the feedback that I was being given about what I was doing in the online space, because I was kind of a renegade in the painting industry and the decorative industry. Nobody was doing what I was doing. And when I came out with that line of painting videos, there was a lot of people that were not happy about it. Because in their mind, what I was doing was I was teaching America how to DIY their own painting, which was stealing from the painters getting the jobs. Right. And so there was a time when I took a whole lot of heat on social media for that. And I kind of caved for a while, and I sucked my thumb in a corner for, you know, a minute until I got into some good Christian counseling. And I wish that I hadn't given so much power to other people's opinions of what I was doing. I also wasn't wise enough in my faith at the time, John, to really understand that and really be able to act on, like, I think I knew it consciously that what God's opinion of me mattered and what God wanted me to do mattered more than what they said. But I don't think that I understood what that looked like to walk it out. So I really wish that earlier on I had been just more all in with what I felt God was calling me to do and less concerned about people's opinions.
Amen to that. Okay. So you can't give the same answer though, even though it was really good advice and I love it. But now as we start to wrap up the show, what advice would you leave our audience?
Are we talking to business owners?
You know, I think probably 60, 70% of our audience is women. Mm-hmm. Some do business. I just don't think whatever comes to your heart.
Well, let me say this. So getting ready to start writing the book, and my book is all about how to do the things in life that you're scared to do, which by the way, has been the story of my life. God's always putting me in situations where I'm, you know, get nervous diarrhea thinking I'm going to die. And somehow we come out on the other side. And the book is, it's a Christian book. And the bottom line is obedience. The bottom line is always obedience. And so the advice I would give anybody who's listening is to do the things that you feel like you're supposed to be doing, regardless of your feelings. In a world where everybody's telling you to do more of what's making you feel good, no, do more of what God's telling you to do. Because when you do that, John, it's always for our own benefit to grow as people. But you also have to remember that so often we think that our life is so about us, and it's so not. God's got work he needs done in the world, and he's going to have to use people to get it accomplished. And oh, by the way, some of those people may be under your very roof. And so when I think about different things that God's asking me to do, and I feel like I'm not equipped for this, I'm not the girl, I don't know enough, I'm not smart enough, pretty enough, thin enough, whatever, to run the 5K, start the business, write the book, do the conference, whatever it may be, because God and I arm wrestle over things on the regular. I look sometimes at my kids' faces and I think about how moms especially were talking to our children about bravery. We're talking to our children about, you know, going out for student council, trying out for the cheer team, you know, doing all those things. But if mom herself has a dream in her heart that she is you know, she's telling her kids one thing, but she's living her life out in a different way. Your kids are watching that like real time every single day. And so whatever God has put in your heart to do, you need to be doing that. And yes, it's so that you can grow. But most often of the time, I think it's so that the people around you can be, who are watching what you're doing, are learning. And especially with our kids, we have to be so sensitive to the fact that more is caught than taught. We can be talking about one thing, but they need to actually see us living it out. So obedience is a huge, huge thing for me. And I often go kicking and screaming, but at the end of the day, at least I'm going. So there you have it.
That's funny you said that. At all the years we've been doing this podcast, 3 years, and people ask me, what is the biggest thing that you've learned or your biggest takeaway? And I went through and I kind of analyzed some of my top shows of what people said and really launched them into either career or purpose, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And the number one thing, every single person was obedient to a leading of the Holy Spirit. God showed them something. They stepped out and did it. And because they were faithful and stepped out, it launched them into either a career or purpose or something. Every single one was obedience.
That is amazing. Would you ever have dreamed that? I mean, I guess you talked to all these people, but I never would have either. Yeah. And that's the focus of my book, because obedience doesn't sound sexy. Obedience sounds like drudgery. No, you know what I mean?
But think about this, Jennifer, if you go back, think about, go take Abraham, then jump over to Moses, jump over to David, jump over to Paul, Saul, who becomes Paul. Like if you go through all, and I'm actually thinking about this right now as we're talking, but if you jump into every single one of those, Esther, saved a nation, you go through all these people who we call biblical heroes, and you realize, what did they do? They obeyed the leading of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Because they obeyed, they changed nations, they saved lives, they changed destinies, only because they chose to be obedient and step out of their comfort zone.
Absolutely. Amen and amen.
So, okay, Jennifer, man, for the sake of time, I feel like we could probably talk for another hour on business just because I love our conversation, but I can't, and I think we'll have to have you on again.
I'd love that.
Why don't you talk about where my listeners can find you, get help from you, if they're interested in business, any of that?
Sure, absolutely. So they can find me anywhere online under my name, Jennifer Allwood. It's A-L-L-W-O-O-D, just like it sounds. And they can listen to the Jennifer Allwood Show on my podcast. On Facebook, I'm a verified account, so I have a little blue check behind my name. But I do have, if anybody would be interested, John, a devotional that I wrote for business owners many years ago. I will warn you, it is not fancy. But I did it out of obedience about 3 years ago. I was looking for a devotional for business owners, couldn't find one. And this is also the story of my career. Whenever I can't find something I'm looking for, God says, well, tag your it. And then I'm like, no, anybody but me. That's our standard, you know, act that we go through every time. So I wrote this devotional. They can go to jenniferallwood.com/devotional. It's 10 bucks on Amazon. It's free if they go to my site. But it's basically just, it was a book of prayers. And I was still in the painting industry then, over things like worrying about taxes and prayers for when you're worried about hiring the right people, and how do you let people go, and how do you build your social media? And it's, I couldn't find anything like that. So I wrote it. Is it fantastic? No, but I cannot believe the amount of feedback in the last few years that I've gotten from people who said it was just exactly what they needed at any given time. And I wrote it out of obedience. I wrote it and then sat on it for 6 months because I was terrified. Who knows why? You know, who knows why I was terrified, but when we finally got it up on Amazon and Kindle, you know, it hasn't like crushed it in sales or anything like that. It was never about that. It was always about me being obedient to writing it. So I'd love to give that to your audience if they're interested.
Awesome. Well, if you will send us a link, I will be more than happy to post it for you.
Perfect.
And we'll get it up there. So I just want to thank you so much, just for being you and being honest about stuff and sharing your story and, all that. So we just love having you on here.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate what you're doing. Bless you.
Absolutely. You too. Hold on just a second. Roar Nation, I love you guys. I'm so excited for you to hear about this. I hope this encouraged you, inspired you, be obedient, step out to whatever God has for you, and just be faithful with the small things, because they're going to turn into huge things in your life if you'll just keep taking one step forward. Please get on, rate and review us on iTunes. It helps us get the word out there. And again, please, just share this with one or two people that you might know that could use some encouragement. Love you guys. Remember, be real, be authentic, and be you. God bless.
That's all for this episode of Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You. Be sure to go to rureal.org for your free questionnaire to identify your gifts and talents and how you can use them to help people become leaders and catapult them into their destiny to help others become the leaders of tomorrow. We appreciate you spending your time with us and look forward to helping you reach out and revolutionize next time on Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You.